We're going to call the meeting to order, the new committee of adjustment. And before we introduce everybody, I would like to welcome David Brewer and Ted Davidson as our public members to the committee. And then we'll go around and do introductions. So we'll start on my left.
Counselor Nick Riley.
Counselor Reg Moore.
Mary Smith.
David Moore, citizen.
Mike Heckinen, counselor.
Counselor Morley Hoskin.
I am Washington Clerk.
Mayor Peter Hoskins.
And we have Ted Davidson online.
Thank you.
Here.
Okay, so.
I'd like to be able to start my video. But I'm here in spirit.
He can't get his video going, but he is on audio.
That's correct.
Any declarations or anything to do else?
No, we don't need to do that.
Okay, so just, has anyone got any disclosure of pecuniary interest or general nature thereof? Hearing none, just from a meeting protocol point of view, that we'll take a roll call of all the guests and visitors when we're dealing with particular situations. And the chairperson asks whoever that chairperson will be, that all comments be addressed through the chair, and that the person making comments should state their name before speaking to be acknowledged by the chair. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to our clerk to do the appointment.
Okay, so we're going to start with the appointment for the Secretary Treasurer. So, that the following person is appointed as the Secretary Treasurer of the Committee of Adjustment for the remainder of the current term of council. You know, the person needs to be a staff member, and I am putting my name on the table at this time.
Yeah.
Everyone is in favor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes. Move. 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 Morley Hoskin. And a seconder. Reg Moore. And we vote. Show of hands.
Is this now 2201 then, is it?
This is now 2201.
Okay. This asked to, has the date been changed from what was forwarded to me at the top?
Yes, it now says February 8th.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
Hold
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Resolution 2202.
Oh. When the meetings are taking place where there's a participant online, I think the past protocol has been that there's a recorded vote of every resolution that comes forward.
You are absolutely correct. So I will call Peter Hopkins.
Yes.
Morley Hoskin.
Yes.
Mike Kekkonen.
Yes.
Reg Moore.
Yes.
Nick Riley.
Yes.
Ted Davidson.
Yes.
David Moore.
Yes.
Carried. Resolution 2202.
Just before you read that, can I say something?
Certainly.
The agenda, number four under appointments, the chairperson should say elected, not appointment.
Elected?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so your resolution should say the same.
Okay. Change that. So resolution 2202, that the following person is elected as the chairperson of the Committee of Adjustment for the remainder of the current term of council. We need a mover and a second. Morley Hoskin. Second. Reg Moore. Comment.
Call for nominations, I guess.
Yep.
have any nominations for the chairperson?
I'll nominate Peter Hopkins.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. So we will go to a vote. Recorded. Peter Hopkins.
I guess the mayor said yes.
That would be funny.
Morley Hoskins.
Yes.
Mike Pekkanen.
Yes.
Reg Moore.
Yes.
Nick Ryland.
Yes.
Ted Davidson.
Absolutely, yes.
David Moore.
Yes.
Karen.
Thank you.
You can congratulate yourself now.
Yeah. There's a gold star, right? Okay, so I need that budget for this.
Yeah.
So we have Resolution 2203, that the Committee of Adjustment does hereby accept the minutes of the October 26th, November 9th, December 14th, 2021 meetings as circulated. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Mr. Riley? Seconder? Mr. Weston? Any discussion?
I have a couple of points.
Okay.
Just administrative for the, for first of all, October 26th, I believe, has already been accepted at the last meeting.
Okay.
And November 9th, just the word adjustments without the S.
Okay.
And the same on the 14th.
Yeah.
And one question, if I could, on the 14th, resolution 21-32.
Yes.
It looks like 2-4, 1 against, 1 abstained, and yet it says carried. I guess my question is, how was that carried? It wasn't a majority vote.
I believe the issue with that one was that on November 9th, the matter was discussed, but the proper procedure was not followed. And that's why we went back on December 14th and revisited that one and rescinded it and did it again just in order to have the proper procedure followed. That meeting, Councillor Ryland was a little bit late coming in, but on November the 9th, he did vote in favor of it. And that's why it was considered that it was still carried.
The question is, if I can continue that, it doesn't say that. It's just granting the minor variance. The resolution before rescinded the previous acceptance of the minor variance. It doesn't say anything about procedure.
Right. And that would be based on the advice that we would have received from our planner. Unfortunately, he's not here tonight to speak on that.
Well, I didn't hear his advice, but I'm just wondering about like an amendment of the wording. But.
And that can be done.
I would say we don't adopt these minutes until
so that's clear.
We get it clarified.
And that's okay.
Like the December 14th.
Yeah, we can defer it.
Which
motion? Yeah, we need to defer those. No.
Okay, so on the table, we have a mover and seconder to defer these minutes. Any discussion? Call a question, all three.
That requires a vote.
Yeah.
We have to have a recorded vote, yeah. So.
Read it again. The Committee of Adjustment does hereby accept the minutes of the November 9th and December 14th, 2021 meeting as circulated. And we're going to defer. Peter Hopkins.
Yes.
Morley Hoskins.
Yes.
Mike Pekkanen.
Yes.
Reg Moore.
Yes.
Nick Ryland.
Yes.
Ted Davidson?
Yes.
David Moore?
Yes.
Moving into the first situation from the Coonbergs about their sleeping cabin. See what that's on the street for, right?
No job will not be
there. Was deferred. Any issues or concerns anybody has? Have we had any letters received from anybody?
We have received some phone calls today that asked. I see that David Crown is online and he may want to ask questions in regards to that.
Okay. Is David Crown online?
Yes, he is. Hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, thanks for taking my comments. So, this is really more for information purposes. We are located at number 39 Fire Route 300. So, we share an area of the lake with the applicant for the sleeping cabin, and we've been at our location for about 30 years. We love McKellar and we love our lake. So one of our concerns has to do with the environment. We have in the area that that is beside both number 35 and number 39, there's quite a nice little wildlife refuge in that area. We get otter and beaver, deer, all kinds of things. So I'm not strictly opposed to the request for the variance, but my concern has to do with the impact that when you maximize your lot, how that affects the environment and other, you know, parts of the, the setting that we're in. If it's, we don't know how, how big an impact this is on the lake. It appears to be at 35. The cottage is of a very good size, and there seems to be several buildings there, and so it seems to be maxed out quite well. But again, my concern is with, first of all, the impact, the potential impact on the environment, and secondly, when you have this, when you go to larger facilities, does that mean you're going to have more like more people? Is that the goal or the intention? These are single family lots primarily, so I'm concerned about multi-level use or excessive use is a concern as well. So those are my concerns about it, without really having talked to the people at 35 Fire Route 300. So those are simply concerns that I have, seeing it from a distance and when we share a common shoreline, as we do.
Any questions? Okay. Is there any, Mr. Coonberg, do you have any comments that you'd like to, hope I'm saying that correctly. Allenberg, any comments? Is he there?
Yes, I do have some comments. It's Allenberg.
Thank you.
And One of the things I did, for the person at number 39, just so you know, we do have a really big family. I have 6 children, plus we have 4 grandchildren, hence the size of the building that we need for our family. Anyways, that's the size. Now, everything was approved. And when we, I'll give you a bit of a background. So when we purchased the property, the original bunkie was right on the shoreline. And it actually was, it wasn't up to the property code. It wasn't up to the building code. It wasn't up to the necessary standards for a building. So anyways, we thought we were doing the right thing taking that down. The actual sleeping cabin that we built is actually smaller than the original bunky sleeping cabin, that cabin that was right at the lake. The new sleeping cabin does address property setbacks. And we actually thought we were improving an existing situation by moving it further away from the shoreline. To give a bit of background on the situation, our plans were approved. We're not asking for a size of space. The questionable area is a porch overhang only. And what happened when our framer was framing, he thought it would be a good idea to put an overhang over the front of the bunkie, so snow wouldn't build up against the door there. It is sitting on ground level, like there are no stairs to access it. So again, it's right on ground level. Unfortunately, we didn't realize this overhang was going to be an issue. I had no idea that an outside porch would be included in the square footage of a building. So it was an oversight and a mistake on our part, and we apologize for that. The porch is never going to be enclosed. It's, like I said, to prevent snow from coming in the front door. If I knew it was going to be an issue, we definitely would not have done that. It's our first time building in this area. My husband is in construction and does quite a bit of building. And this is the first time that, you know, we've had some of these restrictions, and we're now getting a clearer understanding of the procedures in the township. Hope to be able to move forward in the most efficient and cooperative manner to remedy this situation. We're open to suggestions on how to best rectify this, the least amount of disruption and retrofit. Thank you for letting me speak.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the committee?
Mr. Chair, could I ask a question of
Mr. Davidson? Sure, go ahead.
The calendar?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the main cottage constructed and occupied?
No, it's not. The all the building permits were done at the same time. It's under construction right now.
So the dwelling is under construction, and the sleeping cabin is under construction as
yes.
we speak.
Yeah.
Because I think the previous real estate listing that I saw had the garage being used almost as a residence.
Yes, it was being used. I think it's zoned as that, but we applied for a change to have that, once the cottage is done, to change that so it converts it back to a garage.
Okay. Will the dwelling be full of principal use, being the main dwelling, be completed before the sleeping cabin?
I I'm guessing it will be because it's, yeah. We hope to have it done close together, but at this point, I don't know.
Are there any cooking facilities in the sleeping cabin?
No, there aren't.
Okay. Now, I see the application is for a variance for a sleeping cabin of 48.83 square meters.
Yeah, the actual building is 19 by 19.
I'm just looking at your application you filed.
Yeah, okay.
And your application that was filed says you need 48.83 square meters, not 48. And I just don't want to make a mistake and have you come back again, if you understand what I'm saying.
I don't have anything to calculate here, but I know the porch is an additional 152 square feet. And I know that on the original plan for the sleeping cabin, it was too big, so we went back to the engineer. The engineer made it smaller so it would fit in the requirements.
I just read the existing building is 373.67 square feet, and the porch addition is 152 square feet, for a total of 48.83 square meters.
Okay.
So I think we should amend your variance to give you the 48.83.
Okay.
And the porch overhang isn't an enclosed space. It's just an overhang over the porch.
It's just an overhang, and I don't want it enclosed.
Unfortunately, then created floor space on the porch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
So they're being built simultaneously? Is it, and the cottage is going first? Or?
They're being built together.
The concern is the sleeping cabin is an accessory use, and you can't have the accessory use until the principal use is on the property. In other words, the cottage has to be constructed and occupied first.
Okay. Yeah, and so with the way things are going, I'm pretty sure the cottage is going to be done first.
Yeah.
So that could be a recommendation that the principal residence is completed before the cabin is built or finalized. Okay, Mr. Moore?
I just wasn't clear there. Does the garage still exist?
Pardon?
Is the garage still exist? Is it still a building?
Yeah. The garage is still there. The garage was brand new when we bought this.
And is it presently being used as a living unit, dwelling unit?
It is while it's being built.
So as far as accessory use, you do have a principal use at this point, do you know?
Yes.
I don't know if that helps Ted's question.
Counselor, we're talking
about building inspector. I asked the chief building official, and he indicated that there was an amendment being made to have the garage / residence, because it's got two overhead doors that go up and down, and it's got a kitchen in it, and it's got a bathroom and a shower in it, but it was being converted to a garage.
Yes.
The former sleeping cabin that was down by the water, the old one, was demolished.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this application for a new sleeping cabin.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Moore.
So the you were issued a change of use permit to change the existing dwelling / garage back to a garage.
Yes.
So there isn't a main use there until the dwelling is built.
Any further questions? Any recommendations of how to resolve this? Or approve it as it submitted?
The notice of decision has, that Mr. Davidson said, has to be changed to 48.83 as opposed to 48 meters.
If we can go to the decision, Mr. Chair, I think it's on page 14 of the agenda. You see the decision application number, and I think the application number on this page is incorrect. It says A/11/2022, and I think it's A/09/2021.
Yes, that's correct.
Are you on that page?
No.
Everyone?
Yes, it's the legal stuff.
And I would, I would change the variance being requested to, the application is to permit a sleeping cabin of 48.83 square meters, where bylaw 95-12 is amended, restricts the total gross floor area of a sleeping cabin to 35 square meters. Did you get that?
Repeat that, please.
The application is to permit a sleeping cabin of 48.83 square meters, whereas bylaw 95-12 as amended restricts the total gross floor area of a sleeping cabin to 35 square meters. And then the next paragraph, which is the decision, should state that the Committee of Adjustment hereby approved variance application number, I think it's A/09/2021, if that's the correct number.
Yes.
To permit a sleeping cabin of 48.83 square meters, whereas 35 square meters is allowed.
I think you got to put worried on here, Dinah, on the decision.
Yeah, you do. On my copy, I didn't know we got the right.
You just have to change it to 48.8.
Application number. I see on this application that it refers to both square feet and square meters.
I think we should take the square feet out.
Okay.
Because the bylaw only deals with square meters.
Okay.
I would also suggest that it's on the previous pages. On page 13 is the notice of decision, Ina. The previous page, I think it's a notice of decision.
Yes.
And it should say the decision. I would suggest should say that the Committee of Adjustment hereby approved variance application number A09/2021, Callum Bird, to permit a sleeping cabin of 48.83 square meters, whereas bylaw 95-12, as amended, restricts the maximum gross floor area of a sleeping cabin to 35 square meters, and then put in brackets section 3.39. section 3.39 of bylaw 95-12.
Thank you.
And further down, the second last paragraph on the page, strike out local planning appeal tribunal because they no longer exist, and put in the Ontario Land Tribunal. And we see the fee of $300, it's now $400.
Thank you.
Okay.
I want to reread that just to. Well, I don't want to put it so that everybody understands, so that we're before we do a motion. So.
I've got it down in point form, so it would be easier for Mr. Davidson to repeat it again than for me to try and make sense of my scribbles.
Okay. Do you want to do a quick summary of that again, just so we're all clear before we vote? And I know, make sure that she's covering all your salient points.
It's that the, in terms of the decision, the committee of adjustment hereby approved variance application number A/09-2021 to permit a sleeping cabin of 48.83 square meters, whereas bylaw 95-12 is amended, restricts the total gross floor area of a sleeping cabin to 35 square meters. What I'm hearing from Mrs. Calgary is it's the roof overhang that is creating the extra floor area. Probably the original sleeping cabin is probably 35 square meters, but they overhung the roof. When you cover a floor, you then create a floor space.
Yes.
Chair?
Yeah.
What section of the bylaw 95-12 did you reference, Ted?
3.39. 3.39 is the section of 95-12 that deals with sleeping cabins.
So all we need is the resolution. I will fix it. I will redo that these parts so that they can be signed in later.
So we have resolution 2204 that the Committee of Adjustment is hereby grant a minor variance application 809-2021 at Dunberg. Need a mover and a seconder, please. Judge Moore? Seconder?
I can
that if you want. Mr. Ryland is going to do that.
Okay.
So we know all the particulars that will be spelled out. So we need to do a roll call.
Peter Hopkins.
Yes.
Morley Haskell.
Yes.
Mike Heffernan.
Yes.
Reg Moore.
Yes.
Nick Ryland.
Yes.
Ted Davidson. Ted Davidson?
Ted, can you hear us?
He's muted, probably.
No, I think he's frozen.
Yeah. I don't think he's outside. No. Mm-hmm. Never mind. That joke.
David
Moore. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes? Well, I need to do something either right now.
I'm not being recorded here.
Looks to be like the last minute point. So
we have a majority.
No, I don't.
Still, we do have a majority, but we still have
recording in progress.
Record, yeah.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Where now?
We need your recorded vote.
We need your recorded vote.
Oh, the rest of those are right.
Ted Davidson?
Guess we have better internet.
So we're calling for your vote, Mr. Davidson. Are you in favor?
Both are good.
There you go.
It's okay. Really small.
You can ask him again. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Davidson, we're calling for your vote. Are you in favor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Aaron, you froze there.
Yeah.
Okay, that carries.
Minor, just on the decision.
Yes.
Councillor Kekkonen's name was spelled wrong.
Yes, I did see that. I did correct it on my copy.
Right.
I'm going to be redoing
this
so that it reflects the information that you've given me. So I'll put Mr. Kekkonen's name.
Okay, we have the second variance, resolution 2205, that the Committee of Adjustment is hereby grant the minor variance application 810-2021 to Luca. May I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Haskin? Second? Okay. So, any correspondence received?
No, nothing.
Nothing received. Did the applicant wanted to speak for it? Mr. DeLuca, is this good?
I don't think so.
Nobody's here. Is there anyone that'd like to speak against it? None. Questions for members of the committee?
I'm curious that I think what would be page 3 of it shows a drawing and says proposed garage, and yet the application is an accessory apartment above a garage. So is the garage there today or not?
No.
Okay. Hence why it says proposed. Okay. Well, I was just trying to make sure I understood. So.
Mr. Moore?
Just wondering what Planner Jackson had said under the proposed application. He says the applicant is proposing to create an accessory apartment above a garage. Is that the correct terminology, I wonder? Whether it should be a dwelling unit or something a little different. You look up the definition of accessory apartment, particularly in the new proposed, or maybe passed, but appealed zoning bylaw. And it talks about being part of the principal dwelling, not in a separate building, but an accessory apartment. So I'm wondering if that's the right terminology.
It's not the correct terminology. The accessory apartment is within a single-family detached dwelling. This is a separate dwelling unit on the lot. And bylaw 95-12 of section 3.26, I think it's on Mr. Jackson's report, page 21. He indicates that the housing provisions only allow one residence on each parcel. And he quotes section 3.26, number of dwelling units on one lot. However, 3.26 says only one dwelling unit shall be permitted on a lot unless otherwise indicated. And I went to the RU provisions of the zoning bylaw, which is section 4.01, and it says use is permitted. No person shall, within the inland development RU zone, use any lot or erect, alter, or use any building or structure for any purpose except one or more of the following uses. And I'll stress the one or more. And we see the rural uses being a single detached dwelling, an accessory apartment, a farm, an animal hospital, and we also get down to legal seat an additional dwelling unit as provided by the provisions of this bylaw. And then I look back, committee members, to the accessory use provisions. And in section 3.03, and in particular, E, subsection E of 3.03. And it says, the use of any accessory building or structure other than a sleeping cabin for human habitation is not permitted, except where a dwelling unit is a permitted accessory use. And in looking at the RU zones, I would argue that a dwelling unit is an acceptable accessory use. I think the issue here is not whether the dwelling unit is allowed. I think it's whether or not the floor area exceeds that of the principal use. Because the application, in talking with the chief building official, we have a garage that's 30 feet by 30 feet, and we're putting on top of that an apartment that's 30 by 30. So we really have not 900 square feet, but 1,800 square feet, because the garage is included in the total floor area. And the house is only 1,281 square feet. So the variance is to the maximum floor area rather than to whether or not the dwelling unit is committed. Next. Yep.
Yes, Mr. Moore.
Whenever I read 3.26, there are a list of requirements for to have that second dwelling unit. And the second dwelling unit is only permitted if it's a farm use and it's for farm workers. And the area, the lot has to be a minimum of 20 hectares in order to permit that. And the building has to be on all its own services. Whenever I talked to the chief building official today, he didn't know whether it would be on its own services or if it was going to be on the existing septic or just what they were doing. So there's a lot of unanswered questions, but he said it wasn't a farm use.
I understand that. It's just when you go to the rural uses that are permitted, it says an additional dwelling unit is provided by the provisions of this bylaw. It could have referred back to section 3.26. Yes.
Probably.
But it didn't. But it doesn't. It leaves it open. So, the variance would be for the additional dwelling unit as well as a gross floor area variance. That's my interpretation, but.
So, how big is the existing building? The existing dwelling is how big?
In the application, I think the existing dwelling. So line here as being
so. Proposed. Is it on line 13? The proposed 28
feet.
Page,
so it's on page 26, and the existing dwelling is listed as being 1,232 square feet. You see the proposed garage at 900 square feet.
So 900.
But the problem is, going to be a dwelling unit on top of that of another 900 square feet. So it would be 1,800 square feet. But I haven't seen any plan for the garage. So,
are we missing information that we need to defer this?
I would like to see the plan for the garage to see whether or not it exceeds the existing house for. I make a decision on it.
We don't have enough information on there.
Hurry, Mr. Burke.
I just don't think we have enough information to make a decision.
What's everybody else feeling, Mr. Burke?
Just on the sketch that was submitted by somebody, I guess. It says even there, a proposed house, let alone a proposed garage. Is the house built at this point?
So I don't think it was an airport.